before the need arose, God had prepared the supply. When you say Jehovah Jireh, you are not just talking about the God who provides. You are talking about the providential God who has seen ahead and provided the need before the need arose. Who has believed our report, and to him is the arm of the Lord revealed. Why many people have not learned to trust God as Jehovah Jireh is because they don't really know who he is. See, if you believe that in your life, everything you have, you must suffer for it, that's what will be your experience. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, are you with me? God can supply without money. Praise the Lord. So in the month of March into April, we've been learning about money and faith. And today I want to share something very important about the subject of abundance and faith. You see, I've come to discover that some of the most powerful things in the Christian faith are very simple things. Very simple things. And if you can master those simple things, you will do great things. I'm sure you have heard that popular saying that big doors are swung by small hinges. Genesis 22 from verse 1. We'll read all the way to verse 14. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Everybody, verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Abraham, see, he has to be the father of faith. Do you realize that as at when Abraham was saying this, there was no church? Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. According to Abraham, the boy was the lamb. Are you following me? But how would he get such an answer? God will provide himself a lamb. Let's read on. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. You see that? For now I know. There are some of you today, after today's service, God will say, Now I know. Praise the Lord. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, that's verse 13. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Glory. You see, this story is very crucial for our service today. For many reasons. One of them is that we are sacrificing today. Are you with me? Also, today is Easter Sunday. It aligns with the gospel. Are you with me? So you see, first of all, the revelation of Jehovah Jireh that Abraham received was in response to a sacrifice. Praise the Lord. So I'm showing you that it's in tandem with what we are doing today. Praise the Lord. If Abraham refused to obey, he would never have known God as Jehovah Jireh. Are you following me? If Abraham refused to obey, he would not have known that God can do such a thing. The second thing I want to ask is, at what point did the lamb get to the mountain? Now follow me here. Because while he was climbing the mountain, there is no record that a lamb or a ram was following them. Obviously, Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, so he did not carry a lamb. Are you with me? So at what point did the lamb get up to the mountain? There is only one logical way. It is that while Abraham was climbing the mountain with his son this way, God was moving up the lamb to climb the mountain the opposite way. Are you following me? That means before the need arose, God had prepared the supply. Are you with me? So when you say Jehovah Jireh, you are not just talking about the God who provides. You are talking about the providential God who has seen ahead and provided the need before the need arose. Are you following me? So all the while when God was telling him, bring your son, thy only son, God knew that this boy Isaac could not eventually die. Are you getting me? What if you lived your life with the mindset that God has known the end from the beginning and has provided already? What if you live your life with the consciousness of the fact that God has seen all the challenges that I will go through, he has seen all the problems I will face, he has seen all the issues I will handle, and has provided the solution long ahead? And this also is the concept of salvation, because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 from verse 8 that Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain at the foundation of the world. So long before the whole will you eat the fruit of life or eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, God had planned that no matter what happens, I already have a backup plan. Are you with me? Can you say after me, my life is covered because I have the providential God? So God supplies the resource before the need arises. Say after me, that's my God. Say it again, that's my God. So then, what was the point of telling Abraham to bring his child? It was to reinforce in Abraham that I am the providential God. Maybe now that you have Isaac, you have relaxed and you have forgotten. And you've forgotten all that I took you through. And you no longer believe that I can actually supply. You see, sometimes when you get a miracle, there is a way you can embrace the miracle, you forget the miracle worker. I am telling you, I know what I'm talking about. When you had nothing, you knew how to pray. You knew how to trust God. You knew how to ask God for direction. Now you have money, you don't ask God, you believe in the money. Are you following what I'm saying? Now you have connections, you don't pray about anything. So I know I'll just talk to that person. You know, I'll just talk to this person, that person. You are forgetting the God who supplies. You are forgetting Jehovah Jireh. So God wanted to reinforce in Abraham that, listen, I am still the providential God. That's God's word for somebody. I am still the providential God. God is still saying to you that he's still the providential God. Say after me, that's my God. So all the challenges you will face in 2026, God has seen them, planned for them, and has supplied them already. I thought you'd say amen. It was to reinforce the conviction that I am the provider. And now, with what Abraham experienced, it will live with him forever and his children to come, that God can be trusted. Can you say to me, God can be trusted? See, that's what I came to teach you this morning, that God can be trusted. It is something that looks so simple, but people have not mastered it. One simple way you know they have not mastered it is worry. The way they worry shows you that they have not mastered the fact that there is Jehovah Jireh.
Can you say after me? I can never be stranded. I have Jehovah Jireh. I can never be stranded. I have a providential God. Now, someone may say, but Pastor, it's not everybody that experiences God as the provider. I've heard your story, I've heard what the Bible said, but it's not everybody that experiences this thing like that. Do you know why? It is because not everyone dares to believe God as Jehovah Jireh. Not everyone dares to believe God. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 from verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It is only those that believe his report that will see his arm. I am telling you. Say after me, I believe the report of the Lord. There is a song we used to sing those days. I'm talking about 20 years ago in church. It's no longer reading. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Let me see church OGs. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Oh no, after we are done with this, you will sing that song. Praise the Lord. Can you say to me, he cares for me?
He cares for me.
The way some of you are saying it, say it again, he cares for me. You know, the Bible says it is faith that pleases God. There is a way you will demonstrate faith. God will be saying, now you are talking. Now you are talking. Do you know what David did? There is no record that God told David to kill Goliath. Do you know that? There's no record. It's just that he was anointed. He got there and started declaring, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Today I will cut off your head. And God was looking and said, this boy wants to embarrass us. Oh yeah, go and do something. That's how God wants. That's how God wants you to walk. He wants you to put him on the spot. Hey, it will take a kind of training for you to get there. He wants you to put him on the spot. That's how faith works. When you've come to the understanding that God cannot slay me. Mm-hmm. Say after me, God cannot slay me. You know, who knows Brother Billy Akani? He shared one dangerous testimony. You know, let me tell you something. As a human being, we like security. We like assurance. But sometimes God will allow challenges and put you in a point where you have no other option but to trust God. That's what sacrifice does. By the time you give what you have planned for, you now have to look up to God. Then you will now see that there is Jehovah Jireh. Are you with me? That's why sometimes the people you expect to have shown up for you will disappoint you, so that you can show that there are other doors. There are other doors. He said he was traveling somewhere one day, him and his ministry team to preach, and then the car spoiled on the road, and they were sitting down there. There was nobody to call, nobody to reach out to. The phone cannot work. You are in the middle of the highway. And they were there. And then while they were there, he told his ministers, he said, God wants to teach us something now. They were looking at him and said, this man, truthfully, there is something wrong with you. He said, all of you stand up. First of all, thank him for this situation. Father, we thank you. And they were giving him praise. He said, the way they were giving thanks, you know they were angry. Father, we thank you. We chat, thank you. And they were there. They gave praise to God. They thanked God. They worshipped. Then he told them, don't worry. From this place, a testimony is coming. And while they were there, after a whole 24 hours, somebody passed and said, God sent me to you. I was passing somewhere else, and I heard a nudge in my spirit. Go and pass there. You will see some people there giving me praise, giving thanks and all that to me. You will feed them. You will carry them to where they are. Then you will bring them back. If you have not experienced this kind of thing, you would think it's a lie. If I've not experienced this kind of thing, you would think it's a lie. You would think these pastors, they have made it up again. But there are kinds of testimonies you experience after trusting God. You will now know that all things are possible. All things are possible. I am telling you, you know what? Let's practice. Say after me, all things are possible. Say it again, all things are possible. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The reason why many people have not learned to trust God as Jehovah Jireh is because they don't really know who he is. Sometimes it's a struggle because in your mind you have a set way God will work. You have a set pattern in which it will happen. But you see, this is the providential God. He cannot be stranded. He has a million and one ways to reach you. He has a million and one ways to work it out for your good. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
See that our sister's testimony. Maybe she would have been thinking it's a direct boss that will give her the promotion. Are you following me? And God went to the country manager. I pray for you. He will change protocols for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. He will change protocols for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So for you to have faith in Jehovah Jireh, you must know who he is. The kind of person he is. You know, subconsciously, a lot of us have this mindset that God is not really excited about prospering us. Some of you may not have said it out, but that's what you believe. You think that this is how God does it. You come and meet God and say, Lord, help me. Then God's looking at you like this. You have come, Abby. You have not suffered enough. When you suffer, you have more sense. I think I said, serve me. You don't want to serve me. Now you have come. That's what people think. We don't say it, but sometimes we act that way. Are you following me? We act that way. So let me show you some things about who God is. 1 Timothy 6 from verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Do you know? Glory! The first time I saw the scripture, I was confused. I was surprised that, wait, God doesn't just give us things to use for his kingdom, but to enjoy. Enjoy sounds like a carnal thing. Please, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Enjoy. Ah. You know, there is a way you can have a religious mindset that if a person is too fine, you're angry. You know what I'm talking about. There is a way.
Something happened recently. Should I talk about it? I will talk about it. Yes, yes. I will fight. I will find trouble. Fight me after. No problem. A pastor came for a crusade in a very, very fine car. In a Tesla Cybertruck. See, that car is intimidating. First of all, the intimidation is not that it's a fantastic design. It's that there is no car like it. What kind of design is that that looks like a triangle and carton? No, but it's intimidating because you don't see that kind of car. I remember one time, you see Abuja, if you don't have faith in Jehovah Jireh, they will oppress you. I remember going to MTN office in Metama. I remember pushing the door for myself, trying to find my way to do one or two things. One guy just brought a Tesla truck and parked in front of the office. I saw the way all the security came out and lined up for him. You are welcome, sir. Eh? Tesla Cybertruck. When we were coming out, I just told and I said, I am far from oppression.
What? So the pastor came in that car and came down for the crusade, and people began to drag. They began to drag, get angry. Why will he come with such a car? Then I used AI to edit it. He came in keke.
You say, look at him, he's a very humble pastor. He came in. Somebody had complained, the keke is even new. Now, why is this keke napep looking very new? He's supposed to use an old one. What's the problem? He giveth us richly all things. Say after me, he giveth me all things richly to enjoy. I told you, which Sunday was that? The only suffering that counts is the suffering that pushes the kingdom forward. If your suffering is not pushing the work of God forward, it's not needed. Are you with me? There are people suffering for the gospel. Do suffer better, suffer. If you want to suffer, suffer well. Go and be a missionary. Know that we are suffering for the gospel. We will support you. But when the suffering is amounting to nothing, souls are not being saved by the suffering. We don't need it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So my emphasis here is, he gives you richly. Are you with me? Say after me, he gives richly. He gives richly. Say it again, he gives richly. Why am I teaching you this? If you don't understand this, you will not experience it. If you don't understand it, if you don't embrace it, you will not experience it. If you believe that in your life, everything you have, you must suffer for it, that's what will be your experience. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, are you with me? Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. If this is what you believe, that's what you experience. Am I downplaying hard work? No. We talked about that last week, Sunday. Am I downplaying industry? No. Am I downplaying planning? Am I downplaying all of that? No. But you see, it cannot be all about our labor alone now. Are you with me? Remember, when God told Adam to till the ground in the garden, Adam was laboring, but he was laboring under favor. When Adam sinned against God and left the garden, God now told him, with the sweat of thy face will you eat bread. So that means there are different kinds of labor. You can labor under grace and labor under also for head. I move to pray for someone. In the name of Jesus, the struggle comes to an end. In the name of Jesus, the struggle comes to an end. In the name of Jesus, the struggle comes to an end. In the name of Jesus, receive the oil of ease. Look at James chapter 1 from verse 5. James chapter 1 from verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. How? Oh God. Read it again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. How? How does he give to all men? Liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Say after me, God gives to me liberally. God gives to me bountifully. I receive from God bountifully. Let's add this one. And I give also liberally. Let me drag some of you. Some people, I said, when I began to see these things in the Bible, I began to train myself. How we go give him 20k? Make him 15,000. It's not like you don't have it all. Just give it. Just give it. Give liberally. Give it. I saw something that made me laugh. My mentor was giving an example. He said, you are driving a 40 million naira car. Somebody, you bought something from someone on the road. Let's assume it's plantain chips. You gave the person 500. You have bundles of 50,000 naira cash in your pigeonhole. You gave him 500. Your change is supposed to be 300. And the guy is chasing you. Sir, I never have change. Say, you must find the change. Your car is 50 million. You have like almost 1 million naira cash. You have those bundles of the money there.
Give him the money. Give the boy. Just give that guy the whole 500. Give him. He said, no, I'm a principled man. That 300, if you put it into 1,000 places, that's 30,000. Just look at it. I'm a principled man. I don't permit waste. Even 10 kobo, I don't permit waste. Give liberally. Give liberally.
Everywhere is quiet.
So wealthy, but so cheap. You want to drag every small thing? Drag, no, no, drag.
I don't want to find trouble. I wanted to say some things.
See, when you begin to embrace prosperity mentality, learn to act like a big man.
I want to say something, but it's subjective. It depends on how you see it. I will not find trouble. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So how do you receive from a generous God? Number one, build faith in the fact that God will supply. Say after me, God will supply. Say it again, God will supply. Say it again, God will supply. This may be one of the most simplest sermons you will hear me teach. But if you understand it, God will supply. Say it again, God will supply. Build faith in that. Even when it looks like there's no hope, you are looking at it. It's like this thing will not work. Keep telling yourself there will be a way. God will supply. God will supply. Number two, still on that. The part of building faith. Remind yourself of the times he has supplied in the past. Remind yourself. In fact, the way God reasons, God believes that the miracles in the past is your faith ticket for the future. Let me show you. Oh God. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 from verse 14. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Verse 15. And he charged them, beware of the living of the Pharisees and of the living of Herod. Verse 16. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, read on with me. It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Oh, read on. Having eyes, see ye not. And having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? Verse 19. When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They see unto him 12. Verse 20. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. Verse 21. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Hey. That means the multiplication of food happened twice. Why did it happen twice? It was Jesus trying to tell them, when it comes to this issue of supply, leave it for me. Say after me, but my God shall supply. But my God shall supply. If you go back into this text we just read, Jesus was angry with them that they were thinking about bread. He was asking them, how is it that you don't understand? Is it that you have become hardened? So God believes that if you get to any point when you begin to think that he will not supply, you have become hardened. You know, when I read the Bible, sometimes I wonder, how did Jesus want them to respond in the first place? That's a natural thing to do now. Okay, there is no bread. If he says beware of the living of the Pharisees, living has to be bread. So maybe it's because we don't have bread. And Jesus was angry with them, and he was unhappy with them that they were thinking about bread. So according to Jesus, to walk in faith means that whenever there is a need, don't even bother about it. When there is a need, you say, you know what? He will supply. That simple thing makes him proud. That simple thing where He looks at your attitude towards the challenge. And instead of you to get worried, just say, you know what? He will provide it again. He will provide. Eh? So the natural man, that looks like you are not serious. To him, that is faith. You have heard me teach that this same response in the Old Testament, they sent 10 spies to the promised land and they saw giants in the promised land. And then the 10 spies came and started declaring, we are like grasshoppers to them. They will consume us. And then Joshua and Caleb came and said, it's bread for us. Well, are you with me? And then God was angry with Israel. Why did you call yourself a grasshopper? Why did you call yourself a grasshopper? God wants you. See, according to God's mind, he wants you to believe that, just leave it for me. I will do it. Say after me, God will supply. And so he was saying that if you saw the miracle of the loaves and you are still thinking that I cannot supply bread, you have become hardened. So God is saying, look at what I did when you were in school, how I brought your school fees supernaturally. Remember that time when there was no money in the house? Daddy told you there was no money, but supernaturally, 2 weeks later, he paid. Remember all the times when I showed up when you thought there would be no way? That is enough ticket for you to believe that the future is settled. Certainly, my future is settled. Say it again, my future is settled. Say it again, my future is settled. Say after me, I believe God. So that takes me to number two. We refuse to worry. Refuse to worry. Instead, pray. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. Instead of you to worry, just pray. Oh God, this wedding. How are we going to do this wedding? Where are we going to get money for event center? Where are we going to get money for this? Father, I thank you because you have supplied. I'm talking to some people here. I hope they are hearing me. You will now discover that it's not all about money. God can supply without money. Well, I think this one that I've mentioned wedding, I'm tempted to say something. I'm beginning to feel like I'm not an old man in Jesus' name. You know, I got married 5 years ago. 5 years ago. I remember that period I was saving for the wedding. You know when your savings is saving you? And my wife asked me, I hope you have not touched the saving. I said, I took small. And we are saving. So what I did to ensure that we will not touch the saving, because then I was already a pastor. There's way money will just come. Wire, speaker, handbill. So I put it under her lock and key. And then we shifted the date the first time, shifted the date the second time, shifted the date the third time. After that third time, she said, you know what? Any other wedding is, even if it's small chops, everybody will eat pop pop like that and go home. If you're not happy, no problem. Bye. If you are very angry, cook food and bring for the reception. We will all share like that. Is that fine? Amen. So, that was, in fact, 3 weeks to the wedding, I just called somebody that does small chops. I said, please, how much is a tray of small chops? When they serve you only small chops in the wedding, know that you are going to chop small. Are you with me? You know, there's no plenty chopping. Praise the Lord. So, I had already arranged that. Then I went to see, we had been praying, Lord, we trust you for supply. We ask for. But you see, the food matter was out of it. So, I went to see a pastor, the church that I grew up in and served, and told him all of that, getting married, and we're even getting married in his church. He said, no problem. We have to announce you to the church that a wedding is coming up. And so, the day for the announcement came, and we came up. And while he was on the stage, he said, I'm feeling something. I'm just feeling something. Now, he did not discuss anything with me before I came up to the stage. He just said, I'm feeling something. He said, you know what? Where are all the men in this church? Say, all the men stand this way. All the women stand this way. He said, this is what we're going to do. Women, you will take care of the food.
Men, you take care of the drinks. I was looking at film like this. By the time I stepped out of there, I started getting calls. Okay, so the men, we have contributed so and so money. How many drinks do you want? And another person called me. We have contributed so and so. How many? All the whole food, every single thing required for that wedding, food-wise, was covered. So I went back to the small chop seller and said, you can still bring the small chops, but we're not going to chop small any longer. I share this testimony because God is stirring me to talk to somebody. Your wedding is covered. The people involved, say your amen very well. Even if it's not, you say it for yourself in the future. If God can plan for your wedding already, that means he has planned the spouse already. That's how to think. That's how to think. Praise the Lord. Look at Mark 6 verse 52. So refuse to worry. Are you with me? Refuse to worry. When you pray and pray, give him thanks. But you see worry. Mm-mm. You see all those feelings of, well, where will I go to now? I'm finished. Oh, there's no. Mm-mm-mm. God will supply. There is a way for me. It is bread for us. It is bread for us. God will supply. There is a way for me. Now, this one is a different scenario here. It says in Mark 6 verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. What was happening here? Jesus was walking on the sea, coming to meet his disciples in the boat. Listen to me. And there was a turmoil on the sea. And while they were in the boat and saw Jesus walking on the sea, they began to say, it's a ghost. It's a spirit. Can we go back a little bit? Can we read from verse 48? So that people will get the context. So Jesus was walking on the sea, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. Verse 50. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked to them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Can you tell somebody, be of good cheer? Of good cheer. Jesus is with you. Don't be afraid. Amen. Amen. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Verse 52, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. What does this mean? I wish I can give people mic. Connect this text to the previous text. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does it mean that their heart was hardened, so they considered not the miracle of the loaves? That's why they were afraid. Ah, Jesus. Jesus is walking on the sea. The guys are afraid that something dangerous will happen to them. But the Bible is saying that for them to be afraid after seeing the miracle of the loaves, it means that their heart is still hardened. So according to the Bible, if you have seen one miracle, you have no reason again to be scared about anything. If you saw miracle of provision, that means you will see miracle of protection. Are you with me? If you saw, oh my God, how can God give me car, then allow me to die inside the car? Are you with me? If you saw miracle of open door, how can God give me an open door for a contract, and on my way going there, something bad will happen to me? He's saying that if you have that fear, your heart is hardened. You have not considered the miracle of the loaves. He said, if you consider the miracle of the loaves, you will know that upon the sea, nothing can happen to me. Are you with me? This is faith. So after me, I refuse to worry. My heart will not be hardened, though.
I will believe God. Say it again. I believe God. The God that allowed me grow to age 25, age 30, age 35 will not leave me without a husband. I'm teaching you how to apply it. The God that gave me this business idea will not allow this idea go without funding. Are you with me? Do you know scriptures like, faithful is he who has begun a good work, who also will finish it. After me, Lord, I thank you because you will finish it. What you have started in my life, you will complete it. Glory! Praise the Lord. And number three, how do you receive from a generous God? Because you are sure of the fact that he is generous and he is faithful to his word, you must choose to obey him. A God that cares for me and loves me this much, I will choose to obey him. I will choose to live for him. When he tells me, like Abraham, bring thy son, thy only son, I will not be thinking, this one you don't give me, now I won't collect him. No. The Bible tells us what Abraham understood. Let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 11. From verse 17. Everybody look at this. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises, that's Abraham, and he that received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Everybody, verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So what God did with Abraham that put Abraham on a different pedestal was that when Abraham gave up his son, and when Abraham gave up his son, and then God accepted the son in a figure, just the same way God would give his own son. Are you with me? And in a figure, Christ was raised, Isaac was raised from the dead, the same way Christ will be raised from the dead. How did Abraham see this kind of thing? This was why he was called the father of faith. The same way God will sacrifice his own son and the son will rise from the dead is the same way Abraham offered Isaac, and in a figure, Isaac was raised. I want to say something. God give me the words to communicate this. If God gave me something and that thing died, Abraham is saying, I am sure that God is able to raise it back to life. The reason why Abraham was able to sacrifice his son was that Abraham had the understanding that the one that was able to quicken Sarah and Abraham to give birth to a child, is it when the child dies, you cannot raise him back? What if you understood that even if that business dies, God can raise it back? Oh my God. Even if I lost all the opportunities, the one that is still keeping me alive will ensure that I will have more opportunities. It's a mindset to have. He says, accounting that God was able to raise him back. That means with God, I can never be defeated. I want you to say it, with God, I can never be defeated. You know what I'm trying to do? This is CLC Extra. Pumping faith into you. So when God is asking me to do something, and I do it, I will not allow myself fall into the mentality of being disadvantaged. No. Accounting, he's able to raise it from the dead. God is able to do. Say after me, God is able. Say it again, God is able. Praise the Lord. So you choose to be obedient to him. You choose to sacrifice for his cause. You tell him, don't worry. If God asks me to give anything, I know that he can give me 100 times more. Oh my God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If God asks me to give him anything, he can give me 100 times over. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Sometimes I believe God. I believe in Jehovah Jireh. I believe in Jehovah Jireh. You know, let me encourage some of you.
making the step to sacrifice today. You know, there was a time, even us as a ministry, if you know the kind of things God has asked us to do, there was a time, a church, a young ministry in this, we are young, but it was also another young ministry in this Port Harcourt. That was 2021. Yes. They were having their Easter conference. It was around this period too. They were having their Easter conference. And they came to borrow equipment from us. They borrowed microphones, some speakers, some equipment like that. And as they were carrying it, I heard the voice of God like a man talking behind me. You know the way God speaks. And they shall not return it. I said, eh? I felt like, you say what? Lord, you know the faith we used to buy this equipment. You say they shall not do what? See, I was, you need to see me that day. I was walking up and down like somebody that they pierced. God, you said what? They will not return what? No, Lord. After struggling the whole day, the next day, they finished the program and they called me and said, Pastor, we're going to return. One part of me said, just tell them to bring it back. Another part said, obey God. So I called them and said, Pastor, the Lord said I should tell you that you will not return it. He said, what do you mean? He said, God said, we have dashed you. If you don't want to understand, I'm saying it now so I don't change my mind. Just take it. Don't come back here. He was like, oh, Pastor, thank you so much. You don't know what you have done for us. I felt like saying, please, just go. Just leave me. Don't leave me alone. Pastor, God bless you. I said, yes, yes, yes. Call the call. End the call. Ah! Even the media team, that they were looking at me like this. Hey, Pastor, this thing that we did, it's like we're starting from scratch. I said, don't mention it again. That year. That was when I began to fear God. Someone just called. Pastor David, I'm having a leading to sow a seed. Bam, 500,000. I'm having a leading to do this. Bam, 1,000,000. I'm having a leading. All the equipment we sold, we have bought them over. We have used, we have given out. Many of you did not meet those equipment. The equipment we bought after the ones we gave, you did not meet it. Are you with me? As a ministry, we have bought equipment. If you want to pack our equipment together, in this state, in fact, for that called church alone, you are talking almost 30-something million. Are you with me? Can God trust you? Can God trust you to obey? Praise the Lord. And even as we grow, even as a church, we are still obeying. Oh, we are still obeying. Oh, yes. We are still sacrificing. As a church, there are things we don't say publicly, but we do secretly. Praise the Lord.